You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back on a foggy Thursday morning here in downtown Green Bay, Afton, Oshkosh, and Owl Point, Manitowoc, every place. Really foggy out there. Please be very careful.
You actually had something happen to you this morning that just let people know issues with Cellcom service.
Yeah.
All the phones are down. That's why you could not call me this morning, and I just got notification on that from another source. So
Cellcom is down, so it's not my phone.
It's not your phone.
So it's not from not paying the bill.
No.
Okay.
No.
And more, okay. But it's not you, John. That's
all right.
That's what we want to
talk about. Thought I got hacked or something. Yeah. All right.
What does that mean to get hacked?
I have no idea.
When somebody breaks in and they take all your information.
I'm from Negaunee. I don't know.
No, that's going to be a tough day on Cellcom.
Holy cow, I guess. Well, we've got a very special guest. Jeff, are you there, buddy?
I'm here.
Jeff Olson, live from Ishpeming?
Yep.
Okay, all buddy. Right. Hey, Jeff Olson, I'm going to give a little background. Jeff is a legendary high school football and basketball coach. Three state championships. I think three runners up. Just unbelievable what he did with the Ishpeming Hematites. And had a son who was just an amazing athlete. In fact, my brother-in-law was his coach at St. Norbert. And Jeff, I'm just going to let you take it from there in regards to what got you here today, what you're doing right now, and what you've pretty much devoted the rest of your life to. So Coach Jeff Olson from Ishpeming, Michigan. Jeff, go ahead and take it away in regards to the Do It for Daniel program, buddy.
Sure. I've been coaching for, well, I'm retired now, but coached for 37 years, 27 at Ishpeming. Had some good teams. My son Daniel grew up in our program, bringing him to practice as a kindergartner. Really a great athlete. I always say this, pretty much an all-American kid. Tons of friends, girlfriends. Good at pretty much everything he did. He was an all-state quarterback he was only 5'8", 165 pounds, but he still was an all-state quarterback in basketball. He was conference defensive player of the year.
Hey Jeff, if I could just interject. Every athlete in the UP is 5'8", 160 pounds. Let's be honest.
You're not kidding there. You're not kidding there. So yeah. And, he led us to the state championship game in 2010. I believe that was his senior year. And his big dream was, it was never about him. You know, he just wanted to win. He wanted me to win a state championship. But he struggled with anxiety and depression, and he actually wrote a paper when he was a senior in high school that he thought he started to feel different in sixth grade. And actually, my wife and I noticed some things were off in sixth grade, but he did what so many people do. He fought it on his own in silence for 5 years until the spring of his junior year in high school. And that's the first time he came to us, asked for help. He was suicidal at the time. Come to find out later on that 2 years before that, as a freshman, he was extremely close to taking his life, had it all planned out, had everything set up. The only reason he didn't do it was grandma was in the other room. But he came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for three more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. We got him help, but he... there's such a huge stigma involved with anxiety and depression that people are going to think you're crazy or you're weak. You can't handle everyday life, or just suck it up, and or maybe you're faking something, and it's farther from the truth. So with all that stigma involved, you're talking probably when he was getting help, 2008, 2009, 2010. The help didn't make sense to him. It wasn't a quick fix. So he didn't do everything he was supposed to do, you know, as far as taking his medications, as far as therapy. Therapy didn't make sense to him. Like I said, it wasn't a quick fix. So anyways, fast forward to his senior year, got us to the state championship game. We lost that game. He ended up going to St. Norbert to play college football, thinking he might, you know, a change of venue, change of scenery might help him. It didn't. He was having multiple panic attacks a day. He ended up having to drop out of school after middle of his second year there, and came home, ultimate got a job, but ultimately the anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life at 1 month before his 20th birthday. And You know, obviously tough on us, tough on our family, but I felt the need, and my wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this. And we decided 2 days after he passed away at the funeral home, you know, trying to write his obituary, that we were going to put this out in the open, talk about it, and in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through, so loved ones, parents, family members don't have to go through what our family went through. So what happened was, when Daniel played in the state championship game, it was down in Detroit. Somebody on the video that was filming the game for Fox Sports remembered that game, was captivated by the story in 2012, because we went down in 2012. That actually Daniel took his life. He was going to, when he gave up St. Norbert football, he was going to be an assistant coach with us. He actually worked with the kids, and then 2 weeks or a week and a half before the season started, that's when he took his life. So it was kind of a dedication. The team dedicated the season to Daniel, to us, our family. We had a good team, not a great team, but we ended up kind of overachieving, went down, won the state championship that year. Like I said earlier, that was kind of Daniel's dream, for me to win one. One guy that was filming on the video camera was captivated by the story. His daughter was suffering at the time, so him and his wife had never done it before, but they wanted to make a documentary about Daniel's life. They came up, talked to us about it. My wife wasn't on board at the time, but they came up, kind of convinced us, kind of convinced her. So, you know, and number one reason, she didn't want her son out there for people to judge. And when we kind of put all our trust in them, they made a documentary, Daniel's Life. And so when we had that documentary, he also made a Facebook page, Do It For Daniel Facebook page. People started calling schools, mainly communities, to see if I would go speak and talk about suicide prevention, mental health, anxiety and depression. So 7 years ago, I decided to do that, and I've been doing that ever since. Been to many schools around the Midwest, and sharing Daniel's story, but also speaking along with it to try to educate people about what this is, what it feels like to have it, what the symptoms are, because, you know, when I've been traveling and you talk to people who are struggling, and even now, you know, it's hard for them to put into words because it's mental pain, and it's hard for them to put into words. So we want to give people words to say, to come forward, confidence to come forward, to show that this is a very common illness. It's treatable. And there's no shame in coming forward. So that's where we are.
Man, I really feel bad for you. I don't know what to say, 19-year-old. It sounds to me, though, a couple things you said, it sounds like you did a lot. I mean, you did a lot. I think sometimes people are like, I wish I would have done something.
Get over it. Whatever.
All right, or
you
just,
didn't. You guys had that empathy.
I want you to just talk about that a little bit. And then you mentioned that in sixth grade you saw signs. Like, what were those signs? Yep.
Well, irritable, couldn't handle things that were going wrong with him. Just not being him. You know, one of the symptoms is you're just not yourself, and that's hard for people to understand. So there was some things that, he couldn't handle, and he would just get really upset or really withdrawn also. So those are the types of things. Well, what's going on? He wouldn't talk. You know, he's not his normal outgoing self at times. So, you know, we were wondering, well, what's going on? And, then all of a sudden it seemed like he'd be back to himself, and then it would just kind of be the ups and downs, and really came to a head his freshman year in high school. And then he came forward in his junior year. So that's the big thing. You know, when you talk about mental illness or, you know, I don't like the term because that's where the stigma is really attached to it. It's a medical illness of the brain. And there's actual physical things that are happening in your brain. Connections are off. Thoughts aren't getting to the part of your brain where they need to. There's deficiencies in your brain. So we really need to call it what it is. It's a medical illness of the brain. And, you know, the hard part about this, and everybody's is different, you know, and the brain is so volatile. There's so many things involved that, you know, when I go around and speak, you know, every once in a while you'll get somebody, well, you know, because the message is this is treatable, and it is treatable. And they're saying, well, you did everything. How come it wasn't treatable for Daniel? And, you know, there's a couple things involved. Well, Daniel didn't do everything he was supposed to because it didn't make sense to him. The stigma was there. So he didn't do therapy very well. He was supposed to do some homework, and he didn't do it. Some of the medications, you know, sometimes the medications don't work because there's so many medications out there. Everybody's is different.
Right.
So, you know, our message is, you know, if you get put on a medication after 2 or 3 weeks, you're not feeling better or the same, you got to go back and say, I don't think this is working. This is the way I'm feeling. Because you would with any other illness. And I always use the analogy of my knee. I hurt my knee jogging. I went and they manipulated, said, oh, you have a slightly torn meniscus. Give it 2 or 3 weeks. And I gave it a month, went back to the doctor, could describe the pain. He gave me a cortisone shot a month later. I went back because I still had pain. He did minor surgery, cleaned it up, was supposed to be taken care of. I went back again. I knew I wasn't going to get judged. I could describe where the pain was, you know, what I could do, what I couldn't do. Went back. Another cortisone shot, month and a half later, went back again, was able to describe it, knew I wasn't going to get judged. They did a partial knee replacement, and I'm pain-free. And my point is, I kept going back because I knew I could describe where the pain was. I knew I could. I knew I wasn't going to get judged. I knew this was real. Yeah. When you have a medical illness of the brain, that's hard to do.
Right.
We're with Jeff Olson. Unbelievably successful high school football coach who walked away from that to spread a message that is so important. And it is Mental Health Month, and we've been talking about that a bunch, but we really need to also concentrate on the young people. You know, because our era, let's be honest, Jeff, in the UP, our dads are remembering, get over it. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yep.
Get over it. What do you got to complain about? Jeff, stick around. We've got to send her a 1 minute break. Back with more. Jeff Olson, Do It For Daniel program. Folks, please look this up. Look it up. We'll be back with more with Coach Olson right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Road again. Going places that I've never been.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a Thursday morning. Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh. We're with Jeff Olson, legendary coach from Ishpeming, Michigan, who is devoting his life right now to talk to young people about mental health. His son Daniel is an unbelievable athlete, unbelievable student, everything you would ask for, and the mental illness, as you mentioned, it's an illness. It's not a condition. It's an actual illness.
Absolutely.
Took his life. Jeff is devoting his life to try to help others where this doesn't happen, anxiety, all the different things. And again, you know, you talk about kids that are, you know, oh, this poor kid in school, he didn't have many friends, or he's bullied, or what, yada, yada. This was the All-American boy. This was the All-American boy. And if that can affect somebody like that. So, Jeff, it's awesome what you do, and people need to see the video. Do it for Daniel. Jim's got about 20. We only got like 7 minutes left, and Jim's got 162 questions for you. So we'll just start with the basics. Go ahead.
You talked about the documentary, and, you know, are you pleased with it? Does it get the message out you wanted to, and how can people look at that? Tell me your, firsthand experience. Yeah.
Well, I love the documentary, and people have to understand this wasn't made. This was Daniel's story. It wasn't made as an educational tool. So that's why I speak when I show it, and kind of explain some things and try to get people to understand what this is, what it feels like to have it, what you can do. Then you show the documentary, and it gets people captivated. But it's a long presentation. So what we've done, too, is there's two ways I can do it. I can speak, show the documentary, speak again after that, and that's an hour and 40 minutes long. Or I've made 14 minutes of clips of the documentary so I can speak and show 14 minutes of clips. And that's a 50-minute-long documentary. But the great thing about this documentary for us, for me, is – you know, we get to see Daniel's face. We get to be, people are talking about him. You know, and it's you know, he's not here, but at least we can see him. People are talking about him, and that's healing. And this is kind of, you know, me doing this is kind of therapeutic for me. It doesn't have anything to do with how strong you are. This is kind of my therapy, being able to help people, get people to understand through Daniel, because one of the things Daniel said in confidence to his girlfriend is, no matter what he did, no matter what he would say, nobody's ever going to be able to understand what he's going through. So I feel like I'm Daniel's voice to get people to understand what he couldn't. And that's that. This is a very common medical illness that's very treatable.
Yeah, awesome. And I want to just talk about that for a second, too. You said the stigma of it, you know, and do you think that's getting better, you getting out there and talking? And I think this is talked about a little bit more, maybe not enough, but are kids getting more comfortable going and talking to people? Because we talk about, Johnny and I talk about this all the time. Physical health, you're in the doctor right away. Yeah. Mental health, you just stay at home. It's like, well, why don't you go see a doctor? They're out there, and your insurance will probably cover it too. So it's, but so I want you to ask about, I want you to comment on how you can get a kid to go see somebody, you know? And then the other thing is that you said he didn't really do his homework. Tell me how we can help people do their homework, I guess.
Well, you know, the key word for me is understanding. People have to understand, and not just the person struggling, but the people around them, what this is, what, you know, what it feels like to have it. So they can come forward and say, you know what, I don't feel like myself anymore. Well, what does that mean? You know, well, I can't laugh anymore. You know, you guys are cracking jokes. I know it's supposed to be funny. I can't feel that. Or I'm sad all the time. Well, how can you be sad all the time? You know, you have this going on, that going on. You know, you're a 4-point student, best athlete in the county. You know, you can build a engine with your bare hands. How can you be sad? I don't know. Or I have these negative thoughts I can't get out of my head, or I have this constant doom and gloom attitude that bad things are going to happen to me and my family. Common response, snap out of it. Well, you can't snap out of a medical illness, and if the connections are off in your brain, you can't snap out of that. So, you know, and I'm worthless, you know, and you could be very successful, but you still feel worthless. Those are all symptoms.
Sure.
So we want to give people the words to say, but we also want to give them the confidence to come forward, and know that they're not going to be judged, know that when they say that, people are going to take them serious and that it's real. And in response to your initial question, it is getting better, but I say this, it's moving at a snail's pace. Yeah. You know, and coming forward. Go ahead.
If we don't get a chance to see you, do you have a website that you're comfortable with, or do you have...
Yep.
I just think parents, nobody knows their kid better than their parents. And if they're seeing these signs and
you like want to help with something, we don't know how.
Where do you go? Where do they go get some information or support group?
Well, we have do it for Daniel.com page, That tells talks about our mission, shows a trailer of our documentary. But if you go to the doitfordaniel.com page, read the testimonials and kind of see what other people are saying about the presentation. It's how it's helped them. We also have a Do It For Daniel Facebook page, and a lot of people, that's how I get to go where I'm going to present, because people message that page, and then they get the information to me. I call them and go. So there's a lot of information posted on the Do It For Daniel Facebook page. And then to see our mission, it's a doitfordaniel.com page.
Do you come to Green Bay area at all, or Appleton at all, Coach?
Yeah, I've been there. I've been in De Pere. I was at the theater there. I did a presentation, community presentation. So, you know, I go all over.
That's outstanding. Great. Hey, Jeff, this is awesome. It's heartbreaking and awe-inspiring at the same time. And it really, truly is. And it would have been so much easier for you to just say, horrible tragedy, I'm just going to move on, yada, yada, yada. Instead, you've devoted your life right now to trying to prevent people from being in the situation that you and your family, you know, find yourself in or found yourself in. You're saving lives by doing this. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but you're saving lives, Jeff. There's not a question about that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah,
man.
I guarantee
awesome
you're
what
gonna you're gonna have people around here contacting you. And if you ever come down this area, please give me a call. Give us a call. We'd love to have you into the studio or have a cold beverage with you sometime.
That'd be perfect.
All right, my friend Jeff Olson, East Spring, Michigan. Do It For Daniel. Please check it out, people. Very, very important thing. Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, buddy. Take care. See you. We're going to set a quick break. Ben and Dana Malcor, moving to the Malcors, coming up next.
If you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, catch every episode of Mino and the Mayor on your schedule. Listen now at civicmedia.us or find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's easy to take Mino and the Mayor wherever you go. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Well, special thanks to Jeff Olson. Yep. Do It For Daniel, folks. If you're a school administrator or a coach or teacher or any level of whatever... A parent, yeah. Look it up. Look up Do It For Daniel, because this is such an important thing with young people with mental health. And like he said, I thought, you know, Jeff cut right to the chase. You know, you could have a physical problem like he had with his knee, and you realize, well, what they're doing isn't working. We need something else. And mental, you got to look at mental illness as an illness, as an actual illness.
Yeah.
Not just get over it type thing. You can't, he said, it's the same as like when he tore a thing in his knee saying, get over it. It'll heal by itself. You can't.
Yeah.
And at this young age, you know, 16, 17 year olds.
And he was saying that, you know, if the kid gets some, you know, medication, well, this will make you feel better. Well, he's not feeling better. He's got to say something. This isn't working. You know, if your knee wasn't feeling better, you'd go back to the doctor and say, hey, it still hurts.
Well, you'd be able to see it too.
Right.
You'd see people.
Exactly.
Mental health illnesses,
invisible.
You can't see.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, All American had 4.0 student.
Yeah.
I don't forget what he was going after at St. Norbert. You know, good looking kid, amazing athlete. And, you know, you say, well, that kid's good. He'll never have a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
You have no idea what's going on in there. Yeah.
No idea.
My mom was, she's always been a mental health nurse. She's retired now.
Oh, no kidding.
But yeah. So, you know, we've heard, you know, kind of, it's always been on the forefront of conversations in our house. Yeah.
And it should be. Just make that conversation, if nothing else.
Yeah. Knowing that, you know, everything doesn't have to be okay all the time. Right. And it's okay to tell people when it's not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're talking, and we're like, we're pretty open about that in our house, around our table. And, you know, people get to see the counselors. My daughter was very stressed out in New Yorker. She goes, I said, how are you doing? Right? Oh, my God, Dad, this is a terrible week. I didn't see my therapist twice.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I don't need to hear that. But the fact
as
that
a
she,
dad,
as a dad, she's like, okay, wow. Come on.
They might be bringing up some, like, old family trauma.
I know, I'm sure my name's been mentioned on the couch.
Yeah. Well, I know it is to my therapist. Trust me.
As long as we're sharing.
He
I
just think it's good that people talk about it. The old guy, like, you talk about going to the doctor, you can talk about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, It's like, what did she say? And it's we have some fun conversations around that. But anyway, yes, the guy lost a son over this.
Which, yeah,
it's awful. And we're talking about another one, a local athlete that we both knew.
Ken Games kid?
Yeah.
Here in town. Preble. I mean, it's
yeah.
You don't have to be 40 years old to have that issue.
No.
And I wonder if it's even getting worse these days with social media and all the different things.
Unquestionably.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, because you see people's lives and how you think that they are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it goes across the board no matter what age you are. But when you're young and you haven't experienced life and you haven't felt those up and downs, knowing that you can make it through, you're not going with that knowledge base that, you can get through this, and you're seeing everybody in these perfect lives that they have. And in reality, they're usually not. They're just showing
you. And you're judging yourself against that.
I know, which is totally unfair.
Completely 100%.
Yeah, I know.
Stay off Facebook.
Yeah. Well, what's going on in the biz? I mean, things are hopping. Just, I still follow it. You know, I still like the business. I mean, and it's like, ooh, wow.
Yeah. It's getting crazy. You know, buyers and sellers, they're coming out. So we've actually got a home listing today. Hopefully around noon, everybody will see it. But it's right behind Bayport. Moose Creek Estates, I think.
Just off of Moose Creek Trail.
Yeah, so it's kind of a neighborhood where things don't turn over very much.
Extremely popular area.
Beautiful home. Two-story, three-bedroom, just gorgeous house. That's going to be listing today.
Awesome.
So,
wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, we got a home that hit just off of Humboldt, 10 acres, private pond.
Wow!
Right in the city.
I was going to say, that's...
Yeah.
That's a lot of elbow room for the city.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
It is, but you don't find that very often.
No.
So it's
no.
That one's a little deceiving for people who drive by it on Humboldt, because it it's behind. So you'll see Ben's sign, and then you have to go down that driveway.
It's a private driveway.
So it's a private driveway, and it's right between two homes. And you can't see the home that's for sale off this.
Kind of nice.
Yeah. So you kind of have to, you know.
That sounds fantastic. Cool.
Panfish in the pond.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I know.
Within the city limits.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Thank God he's not Mary Moore. He'd like do something. It's like
development. Are you kidding me? You can fit 10
fill
more
in the pot.
Actually, 40 more houses on that quarter acre lots. Let's do it.
His brother lives in that same area, so I'm not sure that would go over very well with family.
That's awesome. Tell me again about the Bayport one.
Yeah. That one is hitting today. It's I think it's six. It's just over 600. I can't think of. Yeah. I can't think of.
So
what
it'll be
we
listed
landed.
Today. It's not listed yet.
It's going to be listed. Okay. It's all put in. We're ready. We're getting ready for approval this morning. So it usually hits around.
So every realtor in 100-mile radius is going to see that pop up in the MLS, and they're going to make a call.
Yeah, we hope so.
Wow, that's exciting, man.
And we'll have an open house there this weekend as well.
Then we got one coming up on St. Mary's Boulevard.
Yeah,
too,
in Alloway. On Monday.
That's like my favorite street.
That's good. St. Francis, St. Mary's, those are good streets.
Yeah.
I lived in Alloway. Why didn't I live across Webster?
Yeah.
Those don't come up for sale very often.
No, and there's something about those boulevards.
Yes.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah. Love them.
Yeah. Impeccable home.
And they've always been.
Yeah.
You know, I just to say that. Quick story.
That's where all the Packer coaches used to live.
Yes. That's a beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you a quick story. When we got married 35 years ago, we were looking for houses. And he's dead now, the realtor, but he took us over there.
Sure.
And I was going to start a business. And you can't have a really nice house and start a business. There's just not that kind of money. Yeah. And he's taking me through that place on St. Mary's. Oh no, Jim, you deserve this. I grabbed him by the shoulders. I said, you show me something half this price. And he did. I bought a house half the price.
And then
I started a business. But those are beautiful homes.
They're
so well maintained.
Well, that's what they keep up their value, don't they?
And the boulevard's well maintained. Yeah. I mean, Alloway does a good job of keeping that neighborhood looking good.
Yeah. It's one of those neighborhoods where every house looks different.
Yeah.
You know, you've got just a blend
of everything.
They all
got some nice style.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That'd be good. That'd be a fun one. Yeah. I love that.
I think that one will go fast too. Yes. So that hits Monday. And that I think is right around
$4.99.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. That there was like really cool craftsmanship and the design and everything. Like, when we were going from. We're going to the Packer draft. We took the bus and we're going through some neighborhoods. I even told my son Dom, I said, boy, can you tell when these were all built in about 1966 or 67?
Yeah.
Everyone, same builder.
Yep.
And it's like you must use the same design to save money or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, nice, but those kind of neighborhoods where everybody was a little bit different.
It's just everybody together and everybody maintains. The streets are so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, Moose Creek Estates is like that too. You know, every house.
Not a lot of rentals out there.
No.
I mean, those are owner-occupied homes with families.
Yeah.
It's just, You can just feel it when you're there.
You
I just, I've always liked that neighborhood. I mean, I'm happy where I am, but that's,
Me too.
Yeah.
Just a stone's throw from the Fox River Trail.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't, now I don't even know which house we're talking about. Now you're talking Alloway.
Anyway, that's all right.
Yeah. We got two good ones coming up.
Right. Yeah.
So when you look at Green Bay, it seems like there's still a lot of building going on.
Yeah.
A lot.
There is.
And I just hope we don't overbuild, but nobody seems to feel that.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
But every time you drive Alloway, De Pere's building stuff. Obviously, Green Bay has a couple projects going on. And I'm just hopeful that that frees up these smaller starter homes for you guys, or for, say you guys, for the first-time buyers, because we lack that.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're seeing so much of, which is good, is we've got a lot of kind of upper-end rentals, apartments going up, which is nice, you know, and I think that we've got some low income housing that's kind of opened up as well. And we've got condos that are coming. And I think that with the generation that is, you know, retiring and the baby boomers, you know, trying to like get to their winter place, you know, through the winter, and then they still want a summer home here. Those rentals and those condos are amazing for them. And so I think they're filling a void for sure that I think our area was a little slow on.
That's funny you say that, because we talk about that. I mean, our next move will be to a condo, right? Mm-hmm. Three bedroom. Sure. And Donna just said to me later, she goes, somebody called and they want to buy our house. I'm like, okay. She goes, when they call back, you need to talk to them. I'm like, what? I don't want to move, but anyway.
Somebody's more ready than you are.
Yes.
And are those legit calls?
That they'll buy your house?
Or when you get a postcard in the mail.
I think this was a friend. This wasn't a cold call.
You know what? Those are legit.
Okay.
But you're not going to get what you could get if you put your home on the market.
Right.
They're easy. They're going to be a cash, no inspection. They want your home to flip it.
Because I had a guy one time at a beautiful house out in Lost Dolphin. Okay. Yeah. And I did get the listing and everything.
Sure.
And he told me, he goes, I got to be honest, I'm not going to pay a full commission. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, you know, I go, could I just ask why? Which is fine to get his business, you know, whatever. He goes, because I got like three or four other people. I got letters from them. They want, if I ever put the house on the market, they want it. And I looked at him. It's like, you could tell everyone was a scam type of thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I got to explain this to you. These, they don't really. And it's like, if they want to buy it, then let's list it. And you know what?
Have them come.
Come on.
Come bring to the your open buyers. House.
But sometimes people see those kind of letters and postcards or phone calls.
Yeah.
And I mean, yours is legit, but I've always wondered how much of that was, you know.
Well, I'm sure that there's some scams out there. And, you know, for the right price, anyone will buy it.
Right.
But you're not going to get what you should be getting for your home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're talking.
And ironically, none of those people came to the showings.
Yeah. So you just listed them and then went to full commission on everybody else.
That's
what I'd have done, too.
You know, we get that a lot, too, when you're talking to people, you know, sellers especially, who they're talking to a bunch of agents, which they really should interview, you know, a handful. But there's always agents that come with buyers in their pocket, supposedly.
And air quotes.
And we're like, that's fantastic. When it hits, have them bring their buyers.
And ironically, then you never see them.
Same thing I said with those letters. I even showed you. Have you heard from any of them lately?
Yeah.
I haven't.
I know. Yeah. Well, we all got to get business some way, right? Some of us just do it more on the up and up.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the biz right now, heading into the hottest part of the season in a lot of ways, you know, schools are going to be ending and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Tell me what it's like right now in the world of real estate in this area.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, a lot of buyers are coming out, which, you know, they're the ones who fuel the market.
Right.
It's.
Well, we had talked. I think, you know, weather plays such a big part of not only just people wanting to be out and about, but how they feel. They can finally take off that coat, that blanket, get away from their fireplace and head out and see some homes.
Get away from their fireplace.
Because it's been so cold.
Well, you know, another thing, though, too, with people is, as far as with the houses just look better now.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The grass is green.
I mean, I was kind of, remember I told you I was looking for a little fixer-upper around here, and I drove past one over off Ashland. Remember?
I was right,
and it's like, the driveway wasn't shoveled and the yeah. thing was full of points. And it's like, I don't want to see it. You know
what
I mean? Yeah. It just looked.
I know. Yeah. There's something about that green grass and flowers coming up that just, you can't do that in the winter for sure. So you just have to imagine it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You first came on here, I was talking about the cost of a home and you got the home, you got the interest, right? But there's just those other factors that are seem to be not escalating, but they're going up faster than normal inflation, and that's this insurance, this roof insurance. And I just hope people are really aware, because the last thing you want to do is get in there and, you know, not be able to afford it. Then you're married to your house, you can't go do anything. It's
so become house poor.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing.
Oh, and it's a real thing.
It's a real thing, because people look at a mortgage, I can handle that.
Exactly.
I have no idea how many other things come into play.
Yeah. I know. It's tough too. And I think that happens, especially with first time home buyers. Right. They don't understand all the additional costs that are gonna come.
To it.
You know, with that home. So we talk about it all the time. Yeah. You know, is don't go at your top
dollar. That's good you're giving them that advice, because you don't want them to be house rich and cash poor.
And I give you credit, because I know a lot of realtors that wouldn't.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you can afford this market. Yeah. You're in the pre-approved. You're good to go.
Yeah. Get in there.
You deserve this.
Yeah. We want them to come back.
Ben and Deanna Malcor, moving with the Malcors. We'll be back with them in 1 minute.
Father, where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mono the Mayor here Thursday morning. The fog is lifting. There were some issues with Cellcom, as we were talking about. They were down or something. Like, I came in, I couldn't get a hold of Todd. I was trying to call him this morning, and so is that back up now?
I don't believe it is. But let me ask you something. Why were you trying to call me this
maybe
morning?
Maybe call in sick.
I think Todd was ignoring you.
Why were you trying to call me this morning?
Because truthfully.
Oh God!
Well, careful.
No. Because I was coming from Manitowoc. Yeah. And I was going to tell you, hey, it's like unbelievably foggy and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But then I was also going to tell you, my phone's not. This could sound crazy. I was calling Todd to tell him my phone wasn't working.
So in case you need to get a hold of him.
That's okay, guys. That's like working at a radio station. And let's say the station's off the air, right?
Yeah.
And then people call and say, are you off the air? Yes, we are. Yeah. Well, you should tell us on the air that you're off the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
Just like the TV does with the
screen. That's right. That's right.
I did that one time. Okay, back in the day, people don't even believe this, but there was a time when the NBA Finals weren't televised. They were tape delayed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And remember the classic game, Lakers against the Philadelphia, when Kareem was out, Magic Johnson had to play center, and they won. They won the championship.
Sure.
And we didn't televise it live. I was working at Tucson, Arizona, okay? Uh-huh. So what I'd have to do was I was doing sports. I'd say, okay, folks, and we'd say, look away, and then we'll put up the score. That's what we would do. But here's what I did stupidly.
Sure.
This is a true story. I got so much grief for that. I said, okay, folks, I'm going to turn down your TVs. I'm going to say the score. Everybody ready? I'm going to say the score. Turn down your TVs. And I said the score, and they go, okay, you can turn them back up.
Yeah. That's funny.
Honest to God.
That's funny.
But that just goes
to
prove.
So, I tried calling Todd to tell him my phone wasn't working.
Your mentality in life is it's you're there, but you're not quite there.
Yeah. You're not, you know? Yeah.
You're right on the edge.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not all there.
So, you're your own little bubble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Todd.
So tell us more about this time of year, what you guys got going, how the business is, interest rates. I know you hate talking about that. Everybody does, but it's always out there. So you're here.
And I got a question. I just want to say one more thing on the on the listing of your home, just this decluttering.
And
I just want to say I work, you know, at a homeless shelter, and we get a lot of stuff. And I think that's okay. I think a lot of people do spring cleaning.
But
I just think it's critically important if you're showing your house, because nothing turns me off more than
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Well, and from start to finish, I mean, not only does it look better in photos, but buyers, when they're walking through and they have that just clean, fresh feel, and it feels like they can be in that space because it's not consuming them with your stuff. They just, from start to finish, you know, getting some of that stuff cleaned up off of your floors is a big thing. So if you've got a lot of stuff sitting on your floors, look at your floors. If there's boxes, if there's things that don't need to be there, put them somewhere else.
I'm shocked sometimes when realtors will post pictures with
clutter.
Clutter. Yeah. I mean, bats. Yeah. I mean, or dirty dishes on the... What?
You know, in defense, a lot of times that's rentals. You know, you have to step into some of these rentals with, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't want to see it sold.
They don't want it sold. They've got it good.
I had one where one of the kids wouldn't leave his bedroom. He was in bed.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And people needed to see the bed. Wow. He would not get out of his bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Doors that are locked. You know, it's like, oh, what's in there?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, it is. It's one of those things, decluttering and making sure, you know, this time of year, we're just talking about how beautiful the landscape is making sure that things are cut, you know, your weeds are pulled. It makes a huge difference.
And if you want the window washer, we had a guy on, he's a young entrepreneur. And that's what he does. He just washes windows. One man band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a difference that makes.
Huge. Make sure there's not any little trees growing in your gutters, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He does that too. He cleans gutters.
Yeah. Clear out the gutters. Yeah.
He does all that.
That in itself, they haven't even gotten into your home. And if you
haven't... judge it.
Yeah.
No question.
They already know what your home is going to look like on the inside.
It's the point they might not go see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of buyers do the drive-by, especially when they get really tired. If they've been out there for a while and they haven't, you know, been able to complete a sale, whether they've...
Buyer fatigue.
Yeah, they get kind of that buyer fatigue. They're going to drive by, and if you haven't kept up the outside of your home, they assume the inside is going to be the same, and they may not even come.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got into it with a guy one time. I was doing a open house. I was hoping open house, and it was a bit like a Saturday, and a lot of people were coming through, and a guy comes through, and he didn't have shoes on, and I kicked him out. Would you allow a guy without shoes on to come
into your house? Was there bare feet or was
bare feet?
Bare feet.
Bare feet.
Mm. Huh. And he wouldn't put on booties.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would say, can I see the bottom of your feet? if they were clean, I'd be like, yeah, it's fine.
I told him to leave.
It's fine.
And we got into it a little bit.
Yeah. Sure.
What would you do?
What? I'd make him wear the booties.
I think I'd take a photo and post it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, I'd just check his feet.
Okay.
I'd be like, your feet fine? I just let him walk through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. If it were me.
Yeah.
But everybody's got people got things about feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, a lot of times when you have to take your shoes off, especially in the summer, people have
flip-flops
on.
Have,
and,
right.
You know,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's what it was.
Definitely.
Okay.
I know.
Sure.
I rarely get into it with anyone at an open house, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've got into it several times.
Maybe that's why
you're not. News.
Maybe that's why you're back on the radio.
Maybe that's why the career didn't exactly blossom.
Yeah. We do, though. I mean, one thing that we do, and I think both Ben and I, you know, when you have,
can I just say something? Yeah. Another one of the ones? The little kid wanted to bring a popsicle into the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay,
a no-go.
And I told, hey, no. And the parents are like, oh, really?
Yeah.
They're careful.
I was just going to say, I do round up people's kids sometimes, you know, because they jump on the furniture.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes the parents are busy. So I just, you know, you kind of just nicely get them, you know, involved in something else.
Okay, one other one is that house I'm telling you about. They had a beautiful pool. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So parents are looking around. The kids down there running. Two kids are running alongside. I had to go outside and watch the kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. We are kind of babysitters sometimes.
Yeah, right?
The other thing that we really watch too is people who come in with, you know, it's kind of the old store thing with big bags. You know, if people live in that home, you've got to do your due diligence in making sure that everyone who comes through an open house is there because they actually want to see the house and not see what the stuff is. So there are times that we stay very close to some of the people that come in, you know, and that's why we like to do like two people in an open house. So you've got one there greeting people and giving them the rundown, and the other one just kind of with
them. I had a young couple one time. I'm 100% certain they came in to go into the bathrooms to look for meds.
Absolutely.
No question.
That happens more than you know.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. I mean, open houses, you got to be kind of...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Give yourselves a plug. How do we find you?
Oh, give us a call, 920-495-7653.
And tell them where you're located.
Yeah, we're located.
Beautiful building, man.
I'll give you the address too. 1238 Main Street, Suite 21.
It's a beautiful old original building.
Oh, it is. We love it.
Ben and Deanna Malik.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.